Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We have been working through a sermon series this Lent where we focus on different witnesses to Christ's passion taken from John's Gospel. Today we take a closer look at Pontius Pilate. Now, Pilate's interactions with Jesus actually start before where we heard in our reading for this evening. They start in chapter 18 and continue through both chapters, but I'll try to get us caught up as best I can. So what happens is the Jews put Jesus on trial. And so when they come to Pilate, Jesus has already been condemned by his own people. The Jews are looking to put him to death for blasphemy. The problem is that the Jews don't have that authority. They're still under Roman control. They need the Roman authorities to find some sort of guilt in Jesus also. That's the tricky part. The Jews have to come up with some sort of convincing narrative to make Pontius Pilate think that Jesus has committed some kind of crime, some act of treason against the Roman Empire. Because if they simply come and they say that he is claiming to be God, their promised Messiah, Pilate could easily just dismiss Jesus as some sort of overambitious religious fanatic. No, they have to do something different. They have to have more compelling evidence than that. So this is why they tell Pilate that Jesus is a king. To the Jews, they hear king, and immediately they would think Messiah, right? Christ figure, Savior, who is going to get rid of Roman control. And when Pilate hears the word king, he thinks of nations and military and a threat to the Roman government. However, Pilate is smarter than they imagined. Pilate decides to do an investigation of Jesus, and he sets the record straight. He questions Jesus, and Jesus asserts that he is indeed a king, but his kingdom is not of this world, that Jesus is the king of truth. And so there's the crux of the matter. Pontius Pilate responds, "What is truth?" Those are very sad words, if you really think about it. Because it means that Pontius Pilate doesn't know what the truth is. God is literally standing right in front of him. The truth, right? Jesus claims he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's standing there before Pilate, and Pilate can't even see him for who he is. And so Pilate doesn't know what to do because Pilate doesn't know the truth. So what does he actually do in the end? He listens to the voice of the crowd. That's what he does. Pilate was so worried about himself, so worried about his position, so worried about what the Jews might do if he did not follow suit, and so he condemns Jesus. He failed to see that the most important thing was right in front of him, that Christ himself is the unchangeable truth. And here we are, tempted to do the same. I mean, we have the benefit of knowing who Jesus is. You guys are all good Christian people. You know Jesus is the Savior of the world, crucified and risen for you. You have confidence in that. You confess that. I've heard you confess it before. Yet we get so caught up in the matters of this world. We look to earthly rulers for our well-being and goodness. We spend so much time worrying about who might be in power, even though there's relatively little we can even do about it. We busy ourselves with the things of this life, and we lose sight of the fact that who really is the king? It's Jesus. He is the king who rules over the truth in God's word. And what it means for us, really where the comfort comes in, it means that even if the whole world were to come crashing down around us, Jesus would still be standing there as the king of truth. But there's a crowd. There's a crowd just outside the doors of this church. Just like the crowd manipulated Pilate, the crowd is trying to do the same thing with you. Critical race theory, transgenderism, Same-sex marriage, abortion. You will deny that these things are good because they're not good. You know that they're not good. You'll tell yourself that they are not true. You'll condemn them as being against God's word, and you should. But the crowd doesn't stop chanting. The crowd doesn't stop yelling. They keep trying to influence you day in and day out. And what they're doing is they're slowly just trying to desensitize the world. That way we can be manipulated. If you don't believe me, look at different church bodies in our country. I mean, we have the benefit of being in a rather conservative church body, but there are plenty of other church bodies who have capitulated to the world, have capitulated to the crowd. They've given in to the manipulation that the world is trying to work. It's that incessant chipping away. And it slowly breaks us down. To some extent, we kind of feel bad for Pilate then, right? I mean, he doesn't really want to condemn Jesus. He knows that's the wrong choice. But he's stuck between confessing the truth or taking the easy route. And for the sinners that we are, the easy route always seems to be better. So Pilate then stands as a warning for us that we should recognize the truth where it's found, that is, in Jesus, in the God's word, in what the Lord has written down for our benefit. And then we stand on that truth, unwaveringly. We abide in it. We live by it. We teach others to live by it too. Of course, as with all situations, this is easier said than done. I mean, Pilate, in a very real way, was under a lot of pressure. And if the crowd keeps chanting, you can be sure that you will be under a lot of pressure too. It will come from your family. It will come from your friends. It will come from your acquaintances. It will come from all sides. And the temptation to go along with that crowd will always be there. So hear the chants. Hear the yells of the crowd. Condemn them as false. And then be cautious with who you associate. But that brings us back to our King Jesus. Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." And later, Pilate actually makes a more faithful confession than all the Jews who are trying to condemn Jesus. He points at the Lord and he says, "Behold your King." Now, I don't think Pilate had faith when he made that confession, but it is true nonetheless. You see, in the midst of Pilate's struggle, in the midst of our own struggles, we must always remember that Jesus is still the King. He is king over Pilate. He is king over the nations. He is king over the crowd. And how does Jesus rule as king? With truth, with love, with peace. He isn't a tyrant. He doesn't rub your nose in your sin. He doesn't point out all of the ways in which you have failed. Jesus stands as the king who wears a purple robe and a crown of thorns. He comes to you as a king who sits down on his throne that looks a whole lot like a cross. That's where he rules from. And his royal declaration for you is that you are forgiven. For all those times you may have listened to the crowd over listening to God's word, forgiven. For all the times in the future that you might take the easy route rather than the faithful one, you are forgiven. Because it's on the tree that Jesus overcomes the world. It's on the tree where he overcomes sin and all of sin's power. You believe this, right? That means that the King is still reigning in your heart as well, to keep you in this truth, to keep you in the faith, It means he's with you when the crowds are chanting. He's with you when Satan whispers lies into your ears. He's with you in his word. He's with you because you are baptized. He's with you when you feast on his body and blood in the supper. Jesus comes to you again and again and again to strengthen you in the truth and to keep you with himself. He's the King who comforts us in all of our afflictions. He cares for us in all of our need, and one day he will lead us to be with him for all eternity. Because Jesus isn't just a king wearing a purple robe. He isn't just a king with a crown of thorns seated on the throne of the cross. He's the king who rises from the dead. He's the king who conquers death, and he has promised that you too one day will rise from the dead as well. What more do we need? My friends, you haven't been given authority over the province of Judea. That was Pilate. But God has granted you the ability to see the truth as it stands in front of you, to deny the crowd's lies and to make a good confession that Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the crucified and risen King for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.